The first wave of assault troops would include the decontamination squads, with their powerful ultraviolet lights, to deactivate any nanomachines that the moonbase rebels might try to use. Giap smiled thinly at the memory of how the rebels had used nanomachines to panic the first peacekeeper force sent against Moonbase. "That trick won't work a second time," he assured himself. His earphones buzzed. Switching to the tractor's intercom, Giap asked testily, "What is it?"
"Sensors are picking up an unusual level of microwave radiation, sir," his surveillance officer reported.
In the cramped confines of his windowless command center, Giap barely had room to turn and face the woman. Even so, sealed inside her spacesuit, he could not see her face, merely the reflection of his own helmet in her closed visor. A dangerous level? Did the rebels have exotic weapons after all?
"No, sir, nothing dangerous. It's more like a radar scan, but it's coming at us from all directions, as if the microwaves are reflecting off the mountain's walls around us."
Giap felt his brow wrinkle. Microwaves. What are they trying to accomplish?
"Lead tractor calling, sir," said his communication sergeant. "Emergency."
Giap switched to the proper frequency.
"Sir, our tractor is stuck. We can't move."
"Can't move?" The voice in his earphone sounded more puzzled than worried.
"It's as if we hit some deep mud."
"There is no mud on the moon," Giap snapped.
"Yes, sir, I know. But we're mired in something. We can't move forward or back. My engineer is afraid of burning out the drive motors."
Giap's own tractor lurched and slowed noticeably.
"What's going on?" he yelled to his comm sergeant.
"I don't know."
Within minutes, the first 22 tractors in the assault force reported being stuck fast. Several burned out their drive motors trying to force themselves through whatever it was that had mired them down.
"Get out and see what it is!"
Giap screamed at his own driver as he motioned his sergeant to open the overhead hatch. In his anxiety, Giap forgot the gentle lunar gravity and pulled himself up so hard he nearly soared completely out of the tractor. He sprawled across the roof of the cab, legs dangling inside his shoebox-sized command center. Pulling himself up to a sitting position, Giap looked around. His first sensation was relief at being out of the metal coffin of the command center. He saw smooth-walled gray rock mountains and a dark, star-strewn sky. Then he looked down and saw that his tractor, and every other one up and down the line that he could see, were engulfed halfway up their drive wheels in a weird, bright blue sea of spongy-looking stuff.
"Sergeant!" he yelled into his helmet mic. "Get up here!"
The sergeant popped the hatch to his cab and scrambled up to sit on the roof next to him. Pointing at the sea of blue, Giap commanded,
"Climb down the side of the tractor and test the consistency of that material."
"What is it?" the sergeant asked. Then he added, "Sir,
if I knew what it was, I wouldn't need you to test it."
"Maybe it's some sort of moon creature," the sergeant said, his voice hollow.
"Don't be stupid," Giap barked. "It's man-made. It's something the rebels have cooked up to slow us down."
The sergeant climbed down the ladder built into the tractor's side, slow and awkward in his cumbersome spacesuit. Very gingerly, he touched the blue surface with a booted toe.
"It feels soft, sir," he reported.
"How soft? Can you walk on it?"
The sergeant pushed his boot in deeper. Then, still grasping the ladder rungs with both hands, he tried standing on it. His boots sank in until their tops were covered in blue.
"Well?"
Giap demanded. He heard his sergeant puffing and grunting.
"I'm stuck in it, sir. I can't pull my feet out."
In the half hour it took for Seigo Yamagata to answer Joanna's call, she paced the living room, trying to burn up some of the fear and anger and grief that the tranquilizers had dulled but not removed. While she paced, she watched the global news channel that was devoting full time to live coverage of the battle for Moonbase. Edie Elgin's voice sounded strained, slightly hoarse from long hours of non-stop talking, but she was still going strong. Joanna learned that the peacekeepers' nuclear missile attack had failed, and Moonbase's electrical power supply was still intact. Now she watched the view from atop Mount Jaeger as the main peacekeeper assault force came to a halt in Wojciechowicz Pass.
"The smart foam gel will set to the consistency of concrete,"
Edie Elgin was saying.
"Wojciechowicz Pass is effectively blocked as far as the peacekeepers' vehicles are concerned."
As she paced and watched, Joanna thought about getting dressed in something more substantial than her thin white robe, but that would have meant going upstairs. Even though the police were finished now with the bedroom, Joanna found she could not willingly go in there. Not yet. Not with Lev's blood still staining the bedclothes. Tomorrow, maybe. After they've cleaned everything up. The phone chimed at last and she went to the sofa where the camera could focus on her. Seigo Yamagata's lean, lined face appeared on the screen above the fireplace, replacing Edie Elgin's report from the moon. It was impossible to tell what time it might be in Tokyo from the wide window behind Yamagata's desk. The downtown city towers were drenched in driving rain.
"I'm sorry if I disturbed you," Joanna began.
Yamagata raised a hand.
"It is of no consequence. I have just been informed of the attempt on your life. Please accept my deepest condolence for the loss of your husband."
Rashid must have phoned him, Joanna thought swiftly. Or maybe not. He's got his own sources of information, certainly.
"I've decided that Moonbase isn't worth the loss of more lives," Joanna said, holding herself together with a conscious effort of will. "This war must end before more people are killed."
Yamagata drew in a breath.
"I sincerely regret what has happened. This was not of my doing."
"I understand that," Joanna replied,
a slim tendril of doubt still in the back of her mind. But she pushed it away.
"What kind of an agreement can we reach?"
Rubbing his chin in apparent perplexity, Yamagata said slowly,
"The peacekeepers are already attacking Moonbase. The battle has started."
"I know that."
"Within a few hours," Yamagata said, "Moonbase will be under UN control."
"I don't know that," Joanna replied coldly, "and neither do you."
"Surely you do not believe that your people can hold out against several hundred trained peacekeeper troops?"
Joanna allowed a ghost of a smile to curve the corners of her lips.
"The peacekeeper's nuclear missile failed, and now their assault force is bogged down in the Ringwall Mountains. I'd say there is a fair chance that Moonbase will hold out quite well."
Yamagata shook his head.
"No. It is not possible. Despite their temporary successes, Moonbase will fall within a few hours."
Wojciechowicz Pass. Colonel Giap was in a frenzy of frustrated anger. Not only was his main assault force mired in this devilish blue muck that had hardened to the consistency of concrete, trapping his main assault force in the narrow defile of the mountain pass, but now Georges Faure was demanding that he get on with the conquest of Moonbase. "It is unacceptable," Faure was saying, his mustache bristling. "Entirely unacceptable." Giap glowered at the Secretary General's pale image in the small screen of the laptop. The colonel was sitting atop his tractor, buttoned up in his spacesuit. A meter or so from him, where his sergeant still stood hopelessly embedded, six peacekeeper troops were chipping away at the hellish blue slime with makeshift implements from the tractor's toolkit. Two of the troopers were even using the butts of their rifles to bash the sludge in their attempts to release the boots of their sergeant.
"I agree," Giap said to Faure, tightly reining his anger. "It is unacceptable. But in battle, the unacceptable is commonplace."
Faure sat behind his desk, trembling with rage as he stared at the faceless image of the peacekeeper colonel in his blank-visored spacesuit. "How can a handful of rebels stop a fully armed column of peacekeeper troops? It is unthinkable, a farce, a disaster. Everyone will be laughing at me, unable to quash a tiny group of scientists and technicians, powerless to bring them under the rule of the law, impotent."
"I tell you this, mon colonel," Faure said, seething. "If you cannot take Moonbase, then you are to release the volunteers. Do you understand what I am saying?"
In 3 seconds, Giap replied harshly,
"You would rather destroy Moonbase than see it repulse us."
"Exactly," Faure snapped. While he waited for Foray's reply to reach him, Colonel Giap turned slightly to watch the activity he had ordered.